G-63, ICA headquarters, Buenos Aires, Argentina. Eventually, and not before time, William Godfrey graced the meeting room of his ICA building with his powerful presence. He arrived with U.S. President Valerie Slater at one shoulder and Chinese Premier Ding Ziyang at the other, very deliberately presenting a message of unity to the world. The three had first stood side by side, backs to the camera, during the disastrous DS-1 launch, which plunged the world into chaos for a difficult few days before Dan McCarthy's momentous meeting with the messengers in Lolo National Forest helped to restore peaceful order, and since then had endured some tumultuous times. Godfrey and Ding in particular had been at loggerheads when the former's Global Contact Commission went head-to-head with the latter's Earth Liaison Forum in a bid to present itself as humanity's sole legitimate point of diplomatic contact with all other intelligent races. A common threat, in the form of a rebel squadron from New Kerguelen, ultimately united the two, and had proven the basis of their cooperative relationship ever since. Now, neither held grudges over the tremendously barbed comments they had made about each other at the height of their bloodless conflict, just as Godfrey and Slater had more or less gotten past their own disagreements over the years. While Godfrey sauntered towards his waiting podium, Ding and Slater took their central front row seats on opposite sides of the wedding-like aisle without so much as acknowledging any of the countless reporters who tried to pull them in for a few quick words. Slater, in particular, unlike John Cole, had very consciously taken a low profile in recent months, and even more so in recent weeks. Slater's extreme silence of late, which had been pronounced enough to be noticed and called out even by typically neutral or friendly media outlets at home, stemmed from her frustrating uncertainty about the nature, meaning, and consequence of the second shelter that had been discovered on New Kerguelen. Maintaining a low profile was generally wiser than diving in, according to the advisors who tracked her popularity using minute-by-minute social media meta-analysis, in the same way Emma McCarthy always did for everyone whose public image she looked after. Particularly in contrast to other Western leaders like John Cole, Slater's carefulness with public comments caused her to be seen as a safer and more stable figure, certainly more so than in the trying days when she had repeatedly been dragged into the minute-by-minute madness of various alien-related developments. When inviting her to a closed-doors meeting, Dan had privately assured Slater that he would explain more about the situation on New Kerguelen a few short hours after the public gala. He simply wanted to get out of the way. While Slater would certainly have preferred to know about everything before Godfrey spoke to the world, Dan had insisted that Godfrey didn't know everything either. This made Slater feel slightly better, for although Dan's close and mutually trusting relationship with the messengers was something she knew she could never compete with, the gap between her knowledge and Godfrey's was a gap she was always keen to keep to a minimum. That no one could really argue with Dan or push him towards any course of action he didn't explicitly agree with was often a source of consternation among low-level delegates, who somewhat understandably found it difficult to accept that they were present on behalf of elected governments and yet were essentially left to feed off the scraps provided to them by an everyday man from a small town in Colorado. This feeling was less pronounced further up the ICA's hierarchy, with the likes of Slater and Ding, and particularly Godfrey, more aware of the unenviable pile of everything Dan had to deal with in his unrequested role as a conduit between two worlds. Out of hope, rather than expectation, President Slater had made a late and failed attempt to politely seek information on recent developments on New Kerguelen by appealing to Emma McCarthy in what she thought were decidedly rational terms rather than appealing to Dan more personally. Nothing came of it, but Emma had been so polite and almost apologetic in her reply that Slater was primarily frustrated rather than angry. This was a last-minute attempt by most standards, coming just a few days before the inauguration, but not in relation to Godfrey's own same-day effort to get some information out of Emma, having drawn a blank in his attempt to do so from Dan and Tara. But getting information out of Birchwood was like getting blood from a stone, so Godfrey was unsurprised to have failed in even getting through to Emma's phone. Slater took her seat quickly, and watched in secondhand embarrassment as the odious John Cole made a show of engaging the most hated media personnel in the room. Cole and Blitz made natural bedfellows, she thought, what with both being widely detested but for some reason still retaining enough popularity in certain circles to succeed. She knew fine well about the scheming Cole had been up to recently, which was well beyond the realm of rumor. She and everyone else who would have been directly affected if his attempts to infiltrate the ICA's inner circle ever succeeded knew about his plans because he was so careless in what he divulged to not only his personal advisors, but also to low-level agents of the British government. His long-standing goals of discrediting Slater and taking her seat at the ICA's top table and her title of Deputy Planetary Liaison were so well known in political circles that the greatest mystery was how Cole himself didn't know that his cat was out of the bag. Slater and her counterparts had strong suspicions that Cole had recently raised his sights to aim for Godfrey's position at the very top of the tree, and all were uneased by their knowledge of how reckless he could be. When it came to his general plan of worming his way into an ICA title, Cole was the only one in the dark. Foolishly, naively, and egotistically thinking he had the upper hand on anyone when really they're laughing at him. Slater, however, knew that Cole was more dangerous than most others considered. She knew that a snake on the loose became no less of a threat simply because everyone knew it was loose and knew it was hungry. In her eyes, these considerations made Cole worthy of more defensive attention rather than less, and of a healthy fear rather than quiet mockery. Nearing his podium, Godfrey gazed to the side of the room with an easy-to-read anger at John Cole's standing position. The latter's attempt to bring attention upon himself by engaging with the one reporter almost no one else wanted to be in the room was so transparent as to be almost pitiful. But it was the fact that he was still standing at all that irked Godfrey more than anything else. Cole's impromptu roadside press conference at the nearby Gravison Hotel had sent eyes rolling among ICA delegates just a short while earlier. But the Prime Minister's actions were now striking many as those of a man who wanted to not merely differentiate himself and stand out from the crowd, but to isolate himself from it. Where he ultimately planned to take things from here, no one knew and no one particularly wanted to guess. For most in the room, John Cole's presence was just about as welcome as an oncoming comet. When Godfrey gazed into the audience to see if everyone else was seated or if Cole was going to be the sole holdup, he sure enough saw only one empty chair staring back at him. There were no conspicuously empty chairs where Dan McCarthy and Tara Ford were supposed to have been seated. Those were now taken by Ding and Slater, and Godfrey made a mental note to thank whoever had removed their two extra chairs at short notice and rearrange the others to move everyone in the front row inwards by a single place. The late change in seating arrangements had one slightly regrettable knock-on effect for Godfrey, which was trivial in the grander scheme of things, but still irked him. This was simply that John Cole's aisle seat in the second row was now behind Ding Ziyang rather than Dan McCarthy. Given the recent increase in Cole's belligerence, it seemed likely that he would engage Ding during Godfrey's speech, probably with a series of deliberately overloud whispers timed to cause the maximum possible distraction. "Could we lower some of those lights?" Godfrey then asked, his first words reverberating around the room as though he was holding a loudspeaker or already standing in front of the podium's microphone. He was looking over at the TV cameras on the side of the room where Cole was still talking to a Blitz News reporter, a woman who looked as surprised by his antics as everyone, but who was understandably happier about the Prime Minister's decision to go into business for himself, like this, than those who didn't stand to gain professional credit for his doing so. Cole turned briefly in instinctive reaction to Godfrey's request, and the look of anger in the chairman's eyes, a well-practiced one which would have spread fear in the hearts of most men, gave Cole a warm feeling of early victory.
"Ah, you made it, boss," Cole said, smiling wryly and with as much genuineness as he usually spoke. He then immediately made his way to his waiting chair, all the way trying to decide whether or not Godfrey would be more irritated by a passing handshake or the absence of such a gesture. Thinking on his feet, Cole extended his right hand just enough to make Godfrey think a handshake was coming, and then casually scratched the left side of his stomach. He sat down without so much as another glance in Godfrey's direction, only meeting the chairman's gaze when he sat down behind Ding. Cole patted Ding on the shoulder and loudly announced how good it was to see him. Ding didn't react beyond a curt nod of his head, facing straight ahead the whole time, but increasing anger dripped from Godfrey's expression, even as he tried ever harder to contain and conceal it.
"Riled already," Cole thought with a smug grin. "And I haven't even started yet."